It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Monday, December 2nd, 2013. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. While many were still shopping Friday, a workshop for kids to make Tlingit-themed action figures was overbooked at the Alaska State Museum. The free program was part of a series of workshops that the Friends of the Alaska State Museum pays for through a youth activity grant from the City and Borough of Juneau. Jeremy Shea has the story.
There were 50 slots for kindergarten and elementary school-aged children at the event Friday afternoon. Surrounded by Tlingit and Haida artifacts in the Clan House exhibit of the State Museum, Native storyteller Ishmael Hope kicked things off. He told a Tlingit story about how Raven brought fresh water to the land. Hope says it was an apt setting.
To have something that relates a little bit to it being inside this beautiful clan house, it's the at'u, it's the sacred objects of the Kanak Teidi clan, the frog house, Kikchihit. And so I wanted to have some sense of being in that clan house.
As a storyteller and a listener, Hope says knowing and communicating the words and beats of a story is only part of the challenge.
You need to be in that physical presence of the elder to really, really get it.
After the story, the kids were off to a series of crafting stations around the museum where they made miniature Tlingit items and regalia.
It's almost dry.
This is Trevor Daniels.
I'm trying to blow dry my basket. It didn't quite dry on its own.
He's running a hair dryer over a paper basket about the size of a big toe. He's drying the stain he brushed on earlier that gave it a more natural color.
There's glue and coffee mixed in. I got some on my fingers and it's pretty sticky.
All of the items were roughly scaled to fit a man-shaped action figure they made out of fuzzy chenille stems, or pipe cleaners. Each child left with a one-gallon Ziploc bag with their own personal action figure and accessories. Here's 9-year-old Cale Burnham running through the contents of his bag.
I have a sailor-style hat, and a drum with a Native American pattern on it, Raven tail robe, beaded robe, and I have a dance paddle, and that's about it.
He said his favorite part was making the action figure itself. Museum Visitor Services Manager Lisa Galisic coordinated the workshop. She says they've been going on for at least the last 15 years, and the action figures are always very popular. This time around, she had to turn away about 25 kids. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
Ketchikan seniors have strong opinions about changes to the federal Social Security program. Like many other Alaskans, they're worried whether Congress will maintain or reduce their benefits as the number of retirees increases. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
About 70 mostly retired people sit around meeting room tables at Ketchikan's Landing Hotel. They're here to learn about changes that could affect a key part of their income.
So let's jump into the first one, and what we're going to do when we get there is we're going to talk about Social Security. Is it just a math problem?
Daryl Royce is AARP Alaska's Director of Community Outreach.
So what we have here is this gap between this line and this line. That is the solvency gap.
Royce and other AARP staffers have been traveling the state talking to retirees and those thinking about retirement. He says unless something changes, Social Security will have to start cutting benefits about 20 years from now. The goal in these presentations is to discuss a number of proposals that could help fix that.
There seems to be this idea that Social Security won't be there for me. And we want to make sure that we're able to say, no, it will be there for you. There are some adjustments that need to happen to it, but it will be there for you if certain steps are taken.
Among those steps, increasing the age for receiving full benefits. Almost three-quarters of those at Ketchikan's meeting were in favor. About 60% supported another proposal, raising payroll taxes. Just under 30% wanted to require all new government employees to pay into the system. About a quarter of the state and local government workforce, including many in Alaska, have opted out. And only about 15% wanted benefits to be paid based on need. Royce says he's heard similar answers from around the state.
Very typical, especially around issues of taxation. You very much will see a divided group because there are fundamental differences on that issue.
Another idea would modify Social Security to pay monthly benefits as lifespans increase. Yet another idea is to change the way the cost of living adjustment is calculated. Most attending this particular presentation were near, at, or past retirement age, but Royce stresses that half of AARP's members are still in the workforce, and they have questions too, because they'll be the most directly affected.
Right now you hear a lot about the Social Security Trust Fund being broke, and it isn't broke, but it does have a problem in the future paying 100% of the benefits.
Of course, Ketchikan seniors, or Alaskans as a whole, won't be the only ones deciding how to fix the problem.
So these are earned benefits, and we want to make sure that people understand they have a say in the future of these programs.
Royce encourages everyone to learn about the proposals and voice their views on the plans that could become part of a congressional package to fill the Social Security gap. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Ketchikan.
More information about proposed Social Security and Medicare changes is available on the AARP website, earnedasay.org. That link is also posted on our website with this story. And last Wednesday was World AIDS Day. The annual observance started in 1988 to increase awareness and prevention of the disease. The United Nations estimates that more than 35 million people worldwide were living with HIV in 2012. About 70% were in sub-Saharan Africa, compared to 4% in North America. Rosemarie Alexander takes a look at the problem in Alaska.
Aldwin McQuistion is living with AIDS.
I'm just not going to let it get me down.
The 47-year-old Juneau man was first diagnosed with HIV in 1999.
It was my own fault, pure and simple. I was promiscuous and should have paid more attention to things.
HIV stands for human immunodeficiency virus that attacks certain immune system cells called CD4 or T cells. It can destroy so many cells that the body no longer can fight infections or disease, leading to AIDS or acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. Dr. Beth Saltonstall is medical director for HIV/AIDS Clinical Services at the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium.
AIDS is not a separate disease. It's the end result of having chronic HIV infection.
The state requires that all HIV and AIDS diagnoses be reported to public health. That's been nearly 1,500 HIV cases over the last 30 years. Of the 51 reported in 2012, 35% already had a diagnosis of AIDS.
So we are diagnosing people late. That's the thing that worries me the most, that people are positive, they don't know they're positive, and they're unwittingly passing the virus to others.
Alaska statistics track those nationwide. According to state epidemiology, men who have sex with men remain at greatest risk for exposure to HIV. Saltonstall says of the 51 HIV cases last year,
66% were male, which means that a third of them were female. That's more than we used to see back in the earlier days. You know, it used to be totally male dominant. So we're seeing more women, heterosexual transmission.
Most of the Alaska cases are in the Anchorage and Matanuska-Susitna area, but it is a statewide problem. Southeast Alaska accounts for about 5% of the cases since 1982. Phoebe Rohrbacher is Southeast Services Coordinator for the Alaskan AIDS Assistance Association, or 4AIS, with headquarters in Anchorage. The statewide organization helps clients with rent, transportation, medical needs, medication, substance abuse, and mental health counseling. It all begins with the test, which Rohrbacher can administer in her Juneau office.
It's a mouth swab, and it's the HIV rapid test, and it takes only 20 minutes to get the results.
Heather Davis is director of the statewide 4AIDS program. She says Alaska is considered a low-incidence state for HIV/AIDS, which means it gets less funding for prevention. The majority of money flows from the federal government to the state and drives testing, which is focused on high-risk populations. Much of Rohrbacher's time is spent talking about the disease and prevention. 4AIDS teaches classes, distributes condoms, and offers a syringe exchange. Intravenous drug users that share needles are very susceptible to HIV because of the blood that stays in the syringe.
You can pass it on through four bodily fluids: blood, semen, breast milk, and vaginal fluids. And so a woman who's pregnant can pass it on to her baby in utero or through breastfeeding, the baby's born HIV negative.
Rohrabacher says more and more babies are being born without the disease to HIV-positive mothers due to medication that prevents the transmission to the baby. Davis says 1 in 5 people who have HIV are unaware of it because they don't have symptoms.
When you're sleeping with somebody, you're sleeping with everybody that they ever slept with. So that's why it's so important to get a test.
Dr. Saltonstall says testing is absolutely imperative, even for people who don't think they are at risk.
The CDC has recommended that everybody between the ages of 13 and 64 be offered to know their HIV status at least once.
Aldwin McQuistion didn't know he had HIV until a cold developed into a more serious infection his body couldn't fight. Now he is living with AIDS, but he's not dying from it. It's controlled by medication.
I know we're all going to die sooner or later, but I'm not going to die any sooner than anybody else because of this, as far as I believe, anyway. And right now, I'm only on one medication.
When he was first diagnosed, McQuistion took 14 medications a day. And 30 years ago, when someone received an HIV-positive diagnosis, it was a death notice. Dr. Saltonstall says HIV/AIDS research is now focused on a vaccine and cure. And she believes at some point, the disease will be conquered. In Juneau, I'm Rose Marie Alexander.
And that's all for Raven News for this hour. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW, Sitka. It's sunny today with highs around 33 and east winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Should be clear tonight with lows 21 to 27 and east winds 10 miles per hour. And sunny tomorrow with highs around 38 and light winds. It's currently 29 degrees in downtown Sitka under clear skies.